This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
The reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. These are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands I give you today be on all your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Amen.
As I said earlier, this week we're not specifically looking at the Beatitudes, at this blessed life that Jesus describes in Matthew 5. But I want us to still keep in mind this blessed life. And this morning, consider the impact of this blessed life when we live out God's way and we're faithful to him, the impact on the next generation. This is why we've turned to Moses' words in Deuteronomy 6. And if you have your Bible in hand or on your phone, then have that chapter, Deuteronomy 6, open in front of you that Lee has just read for us. You may have heard this week that after a year of our lives being so disrupted and many things being disrupted and with holidays looming, and in particular one thing that's maybe been absent in the lives of families is swimming lessons. And in the news this week, the Royal Life Saving Society have a campaign to try and ensure that children remain safe whenever they go on their holidays and they're beside the pool or beside the beach, and that they try and prevent drowning. And they want to encourage parents to teach their children how to swim and stay safe in the water. And they want to encourage parents to bring their confidence and their knowledge and to ensure that they pass it on to their children and don't just rely upon those lessons, because those lessons never happened this year. There's so many things that parents teach their children. There's those magic words of please, and what do you say? Thank you. And then there's teaching them how to hold their pencil right, or how to ride their bicycle, or how to tie up their shoelaces. All those little things that over the years parents teach their children. And then as children get older, parents need to teach their children about relationships and about how to drive a car and managing finances. More things that parents pass on to their children as wisdom and as advice and as guidance and understanding. Children are constantly watching and finding things out from their parents. And that includes what they learn from their parents about faith. But it's possible to give this little or any thought, to devote so much time to nurturing our children's physical health emotional health, intellectual health and well-being. And yet, we fail to invest in their spiritual growth and health. But for us to live a blessed life and for our children to live a blessed life, we need to nurture that spiritual growth and health as well as all of the other parts that make us human, that make us feel fulfilled and live life well. Moses emphasized the importance of this in Deuteronomy 6. Encourage parents, share your faith with your children. Teach God's commandments to your children as part of everyday life. It says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, he's saying, share your whole life of faith with your kids. Let them know that your faith is relevant to every part of your life, whether you're at home or work, whether it's school, whether it's morning or evening. Show a real, authentic, relevant, meaningful faith. It's what I call the Deuteronomy 6 rule. And it's emphasized again and again in the Bible. Moses himself repeats the rule again in chapter 11. But later in the Bible, in the Psalms, David wrote, he decreed statutes for Jacob. That's God decreed statutes for Jacob. And established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them. And even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And skip over then a few books in the Bible, you get to the prophets. It says, tell it to your children. Tell your children about God. Let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. And then in the New Testament, we're told, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What Moses said is repeated throughout Scripture. But when Moses said it, he was speaking to an ancient people in the Middle East. And he had gathered in front of them hundreds, if not thousands, of people. I imagine maybe he stood and stopped of some rock or cliff edge so that they could all hear his voice as he projected it below. To young and old, single, married, widowed, they were all there. But before them, he speaks specifically to parents and to parents about their children. And doesn't it still remain true today that parents have the greatest influence on children for revealing a meaningful faith in God and developing a faith that lasts, that doesn't finish when they end Sunday school or leave jam or they get to 18, but a faith that lasts? Other than sleeping, the next greatest proportion of time a child spends is with their parents. Parents have the greatest influence on developing their child's faith in God. According to research, 92% of adult churchgoers say they attended church at least occasionally as children. 92% of adults. That means that most of you today sitting here sat in a church as a child right alongside your Christian parents. Parents have the greatest influence on children in developing a faith that lasts. We see an encouraging example of this later on in the Bible in the life of Timothy. He lived in Lystra. He had a Jewish mother and a Gentile father. But it's clear from Paul's second letter of encouragement to Timothy that the faith in particular of Timothy's mother and grandmother was so influential upon Timothy, that Paul writes, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul recognized that Timothy's relationship with these women, who he loved and trusted, who taught him the truth from the Bible, who'd shared with him the scriptures for an early age, the teaching, the lifestyle, the way of God, was so influential and foundational. A seed was left in Timothy. from his mother and his grandmother. And it grew. But the Bible also provides us with examples of what happens when this truth is not passed on. Go back to the Old Testament, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua says, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." But by the end of the chapter, it says that Israel served the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime. However, not long after, it says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. There's a danger of a generation not knowing of who God is and what he has done. Of Jesus just being a word on their lips that they use when they get angry or frustrated. A curse word. Or Jesus is somebody that they'd heard about, but, you know, he's a figure that they don't really know. They're not familiar with. Somewhere along the line, the baton had been dropped. Sharing faith in God with the next generation have broken down. And in Judges, we see the consequences. A people, we're told, who quickly turned away from the way in which their fathers had walked. Malone, the Bible is quite open about the successes and the failures of passing on our faith to the next generation. And in Deuteronomy 6, Moses knew that faithful parents are the most effective and most successful at passing on faith in God to the next generation. They're the most successful. A child attending a church group 1 hour a week, would need to attend for 421 years to equal the same amount of time they spend with their parents by the age of 10. You see the influence parents can have? If we're relying upon our children or our youth program to install an authentic or lasting faith in God, then we will be disappointed. And I even dare to say, one day you'll look around and you'll see that there's no generation coming behind you of faithful men and young women. We'll have lost them. You'll have lost them. So what can we do to change this? Well, we need to follow this Deuteronomy 6 rule. We need to live out our faith every day. Not just 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning faith. Our children need to see authentic, real faith each day of the week. It's the sort of faith that helps them figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And parents, though, parents don't need to be experts. Many times, Isabella or Noah have asked me a question, and I've said to them, "That's a really good question, but I don't know. I'll go away and see if I can find out." And maybe a couple of weeks later I'll say, "You know, you were asking such and such about God. Well, I think the answer is," or "I've been thinking about that," and I try to maybe give them an answer later on, but a lot of the time I have to just admit, "That's a really good question, but I don't know. When we get to heaven, I don't know what age you'll be, Noah, if you'll be 8 years old or 80. I don't know. But you'll be walking and skipping and running about. That's what I do know." But there are things that we just don't know. And children know parents aren't perfect. And if they don't know now, they'll soon know. Do you know, everywhere we look at the moment seems to be the European Football Championships. Well, every time I come into the living room, the TV's on and that's what's on. And I was listening to a commentary on the players. And I was saying what every player on every team has in common is that every player has a weak foot. One foot is more dominant, stronger, more skilled than the other. And even the best footballers, even Cristiano Ronaldo, needs to do drills in training on his weaker foot. And if you were to ask a professional footballer which is their weaker foot, they would easily tell you. They know where their weakness lies. And it's the same for all of us. Each of us have weaknesses. But God assured Paul on one occasion, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. It's in there, in that weakness that you have as a person, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, there you need to have God. Because he will bring the strength that you need in that weakness. You can depend on God. None of us are perfect human beings, or perfect parents, or perfect grandparents, or even perfect Christians. Because only Jesus has lived the perfect life. However, what we can do is show our children and teenagers that we are committed to being more like Jesus, who lived this perfect life. To not rule ourselves out and say, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to keep trying and show my kids that I'm going to keep trying. At times, we all feel. I am impatient at times. I get angry. There's moments where I'm foolish. But it's meant that I've had to not only ask God's forgiveness, but actually ask for my children's forgiveness. Even just modeling saying sorry when mistakes are made teaches our children so much about how God forgives us. So they may not always see the best parent, but what they do see is a parent who's committed to following Jesus every day. Successes and failures. Committed. If we're committed to God, then we're all disciples of Jesus. We're all learning how to trust God, how to speak to God, how to understand more about who God is. We're disciples who are doing this life of faith together. The baptism of Emily this morning reminds us once again that the parents in our church family live out their faith every day, knowing they're part of a wider community. That's why Moses stood on that rock edge and gathered the whole community and specifically spoke to parents, because he wanted them to look around them and see, these are the people who are going to help me, cheer me on, pray for me, encourage me, even challenge me as a Christian and as a Christian parent. God gave us, each of us, to live out this life of faith. We cannot do it on our own. Some have tried and they have failed. This past year, many people, including experts, thought that our children and our young people would be the generation best suited to embrace things online, to move online during lockdown. Many thought they would make this shift to remote learning and everything that involves, and they would embrace it because they're the Wi-Fi generation. But we couldn't have been more wrong. What we have seen over this past year was a steady decline in young people, teenagers and children, in online engagement. In school, extracurricular activities, church, and even engaging online as friendships. They go online for entertainment, for news, even for celebrity gossip. But they don't go online for relationships. Because they know they can't get it there. Not real, authentic relationships. At its heart, the gospel is an invitation to a relationship with God. And baptism is when we recognize that God's done everything possible to make that possible. The vows we make as parents and as a congregation that we are committed to a relationship with God gives our children and teenagers every opportunity to see what a relationship with God is like and then want that for themselves. Yeah, I know my parents have sometimes messed up, but I've seen how they've received God's forgiveness. Yeah, I know how my parents are aware of how they lack patience sometimes or they've made some wrong decisions, but I see how they have persevered. And they've held true to God. Let me finish by saying this and just drawing your attention to this in Deuteronomy 6. Moses goes on to say this. He says, tie these commands as symbols on your hands. Bind them in your foreheads. Write them in the door frames of your homes and on your gates. Do you know it's unlikely Moses literally meant that you should have God's commands strapped to your forehead? as if, you know, that's where it's meant to be. But what he's emphasizing here is that our faith in God is meant to affect us and our behavior, to dominate our actions, tie them to your hands, to be in your line of sight, bind them to your foreheads, to be an integral part of your family, put them on the door frames of your homes, and even to be part of our city, have them on the gateposts. Let your faith and otherwise be evident to everyone. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't excuse it. Hold on to it and keep it wherever you are, as if it's bound to your forehead. Moses is particularly referring to the commands of God that were carved on two stone tablets. But here's the question. What use are commandments carved into stone tablets? They're no use. Moses was trying to explain to the people that commands of God need to be carved into your life, evident in your life, as evident as they are in these stone tablets, that our lives bear this message. So consider these questions. Where is the evidence of God in your life? Where is God carved into your life? Where does God need to be carved into your life? Where are you letting God to be present in your lives for others and especially your children to see and notice? What words, actions, decisions, attitudes do you need to let God carve his truths into? Are you praying for your children? Are you praying for our parents? Are you praying for the next generation here in Malone that they won't be lost and someday you won't look around and there'll be none of the next generation coming after you? Let's commit ourselves to Deuteronomy 6. Let's pray. Father God, we pray to you, our God, our loving Heavenly Father. And in the silence, we first start by confessing how we have failed you. Failed to follow this Deuteronomy 6 rule. As parents, grandparents, as a church family. And we are sorry, God, we are truly sorry. We are sorry for our children who have lost, for the grandchildren who we have lost, for the children in our church family who are no longer with us, but they should be here, and we want them here, and we want them to know you, God, and this blessed life. We want them to know the multitude of your blessings. We're sorry, God, in the ways that we have failed you. But God, we thank you that you forgive us. And we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to empower us and equip us to be your church, to be your people, to be your parents, to follow you, Jesus, every day. So once again, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our lives for all that we need. For where we know we have our weakness. For where we know we need you, God. Carve yourself into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment now and turn our prayers to others, our thoughts to others. So let's still ourselves once more. Let's pray. Lord God, in the book of Nahum, it says, "The Lord is good, a strength and stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge and trust in him." This morning, with many things on our mind and troubling us, we take refuge in you and trust in you. This morning, we ask that you will make yourself known to us, but also as a kind and loving father to children who do not know the love of a father or are treated cruelly by their father. May you, God, be their protector, their refuge. May you, God, be their friend. We ask that you would strengthen the work of social workers, teachers, welfare officers, doctors, nurses, to intervene, to care for and protect vulnerable children today. This morning we ask that you'll make yourself known as a kind and loving father to children whose fathers are lost in themselves through dementia or Alzheimer's. May your grace be present in these difficult circumstances. And for children who sit at their father's bedside, in hospital, or stand at a graveside, may they know your comfort, Lord God, today, in the absence of their father. We pray today for all our fathers in our church family and those who are connected to each of our families. God, be real and present in their lives, that they will love you and follow you, Jesus, always striving to be like you. May they know your strength for them to be the men you intended them to be role models and mentors for the next generation. Thank you that you love them and let them know you care for them in their homes, their jobs, their commitments and responsibilities. May the fathers in our church family be filled with your wisdom. May they be generous like you, God. May they have honesty and integrity. May they serve you well in the world. And when they make mistakes, God, as I'm sure they will, may they know your forgiveness and continue to remain faithful in you. God, we especially pray for fathers who visit the international meeting point on the Lisburn Road. We lift them up to you. Those men who have travelled alone or with their families from the Middle East or North Africa. Lord God, we can only begin to imagine the stress and fear that drives a man to leave his home and become a refugee or a migrant. May IMP and the Lisburn Road restore their dignity. Give them strength and hope in you. As they hear the gospel, open their hearts to know you, Jesus, as their Saviour and Lord. And also on this Father's Day, we bring to mind the work of the Presbyterian Children's Society. They work across this island, helping all families who are struggling. Thank you, God, for all the work that they do. Lord God, this Father's Day we've prayed for fathers and their children. But in many ways our world needs our prayers and they need you, God. And were we to list all the troubles that are on our minds, we would be here for a very long time. Among the many things in our minds at the moment, we bring to you the future of power sharing and Stormont. Decisions about the Northern Ireland Protocol and more decisions about Brexit. The many children who are disappointed with their secondary school place. The continuing fallout of the restrictions we've been living under. We take a moment now and we tell you of the people and situations that trouble us today. God, we thank you. You know what's on our mind. In the book of Nahum, it says, the Lord is good, a strength and stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge and trust in him. And so we do so today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.